Do we really appreciate this very fact? Jesus died for all who have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that would include every one of us if we're of the age of accountability. Now, in Romans 5, verse 8, "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." That's right. In 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." Since Jesus died for us all, we shouldn't be living unto ourselves, but unto him, as he died for us. And yes, he was resurrected from the grave. This morning, we want to focus on seven sins. Well, we'll cover probably three of them, four of these seven sins, Lord willing, next week. But these sins that we're going to study were involved in our Lord's crucifixion. So we want to make the proper application to ourselves, because we may be quick to condemn the Jews of the first century who betrayed, arrested, gave false testimony, and demanded that Jesus be put to death while asking for the release of a murderer, Barabbas, and at the same time not see ourselves committing the same sins today. As you go to Romans 2, 1 through 4, it's clear, a warning, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things." That's what we're talking about, isn't it? "But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgeth them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God?" Well, we shouldn't think that. "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" So we want to learn this morning from three sins we'll look at which were involved in our Lord and Savior's crucifixion. And we'll begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity, PFE. Let's remember those initials to help us remind us every day what we should be doing. Just that. Preparing for eternity. We want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street in Martinsville as we come together to study God's precious word in our Bible classes. We gather together to worship God in the assembly, and we strive to worship in spirit and in truth with a proper attitude, but at the same time, in accordance to the New Testament pattern. You would be very much welcome to join in with us. We're a very friendly congregation, and I'm sure you would feel welcome. But something else to mention, we're always looking forward to having Bible studies, so please take advantage of that. And also, if you have Bible questions or comments you'd like to make, positive or negative, again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, which has our radio sermons and bulletin articles as well, It's www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get into our study this morning as we're going to begin to look at seven sins which were involved in our Lord and Savior's crucifixion. And we'll go to Luke chapter 23, and we'll start with verse 18. And they cried out all at once, saying, "Away with this man, release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison." Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And he said unto them the third time, "Why? What evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him," that would be beat with a whip, "and let him go." And they were instant in loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified, and the voices of them and of the chief priest prevailed. Notice, and Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. He's the judge. He turns it over to the people. And he released unto them him, that is our Lord and Savior, that for sedition and murder, he released unto them Barabbas, this is him, for sedition and murder, and cast into prison whom they desired. But he delivered Jesus to their will. He gives in to their will. And as he led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon of a Cyrenian coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. Now here's the sin we want to focus on as we go down to verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand, the other on the left. One repented, one did not. Here's the verse we're focusing in on. Verse 34. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast lots. So here we find the sin of ignorance. "For they know not what they do." Now notice what Peter said to the Jews present after the lame man was healed. It had been healed in Acts chapter 3. As you pick up with verse 13, we find Peter saying, "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob and the God of our fathers hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name through faith and his name hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance," here it is, "ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled." Yes, all you had to do was study the prophets, and they gave the prophecies of Christ, and they were fulfilled. But here you see again, through ignorance, "you did it, as did also your rulers," verse 17. So the Jews were ignorant of the deity of Christ. And why is that? Because they did not know the Scriptures, even though they read and heard the Scriptures. So the point would be for us to certainly understand here is it's not enough just to read the Bible. We have to really study. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We understand we're under the law of Christ. And so we need to be diligent students of God's word. Dig in. Notice John 5:39. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, Jesus is saying here. John 7:17. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. We need to know the doctrine and certainly live by it. Matthew 22:29, Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. So what about us today? Are we guilty of the sin of ignorance? Well, what happened in Isaiah's day is happening today. Isaiah 1:2-4. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, and they are gone away backward. Notice, they don't know. They're not considering. They've forsaken the Lord, and they've gone away backward. 1, 2, 3, 4. Can you remember, those of us that are of age, when members of the Church of Christ were called walking Bibles? A judge could say to someone, you can put your hand on his head, if there wasn't a Bible available, a member of the Church of Christ, because this man knows the Bible. Well, I don't see that being done today, but why is it the case that so many members of the Lord's church do not come to Bible class on Sunday morning and on Wednesday night, but yet they're in good health? They're not taking care of a sick person. So what's more important than studying God's word? You see, the sin of ignorance is going on today, and there's no excuse for it. But let's go on in our study. Sin number 2, Luke 23:18-19. Again, let's notice. And they cried out all at once, saying, away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. So here is the sin of hating that which is good. The Jews hated Jesus to the point of having him put to death by the means of crucifixion, a horrible way to die, and having a murderer released. Well, we see a number of injustices going on today, do we not? How many prosecutors are not prosecuting, just releasing people who are committing crimes as if it doesn't matter? And we think, boy, this is terrible. Well, yes, it is. But think about the greatest injustice to have ever taken place in the history of mankind was when our Lord and Savior was put to death on the cruel cross of Calvary, and a murderer was released instead of having Jesus released, who was innocent, who had no sin. But of course, he was fulfilling his Father's will. In John 10:31-32, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? Healing the sick, all those things that Jesus did, miraculous in their sight. those good works that he did from his father, but they wanted to stone him. So here's the sin of hating that which is good. In John 15:25, "But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause." Well, that's certainly what they did. They hated the Lord and Savior without a cause. Isaiah and Micah wrote by inspiration. Isaiah 5:20, we all should know this verse. "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Micah 3:2, "Who hate the good and love the evil, who pluck off their skin from off them and their flesh from off their bones." What's going on today? If you speak out against homosexuality, transgenderism, abortion, these are sins in the sight of God, according to the Word of God, not my opinion. When you speak out against these things, you're said to be evil. That's right. You speak the Word of God, which is right and proper, and it's termed evil. So I could just go on and on, example after example. What's going on today all around us? Yes. But what about us? We need to take a look. Are we guilty of the sin of hating that which is good? We sure better not be, and we hope not, but we need to know. Many today love the darkness more than light. John 3:19, "And this is the condemnation, that light is coming into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." The light exposes. The light of truth. 1 Thessalonians 5:4-8, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day, which are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and of love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation." That's right, we're not of the night nor of the darkness. We're supposed to be children of light, reflecting the light of the only begotten Son of God, capital S-O-N. 2 Peter 2:1-2, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." And here's the sad results. "And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." When you speak the truth, yes, people can say that's evil, what you're doing. You're a homophobe, you're an Islamophobe, all these phobes, and all you're doing is speaking the truth because you love the souls of these in sin, and you want to see them get out and have salvation. That's love. That's not hating someone. It's just the opposite, isn't it? Is it not the case that many liberal brethren speak well of those in error, but they condemn those standing for the truth? Sad to say, that is the case. But let us go on and look at sin number 3. Yes, that was involved in the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Luke 23:23, "And they were instant with loud voices requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priest prevailed." So you have the sin of religious prejudice. Yes. Now this was before the Catholic Church formed, before any denominations in protest, the Protestant movement developed. This is before the true church, in fact, began, as Jesus is on the cross. Now, it won't be long from this time, of course, in Acts 2, where the church did begin on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem. But here we have religious prejudice as one's mind is closed to the truth. It's like a thief, because it steals away the power to think and reason. Thus, the thief of the soul. In Matthew chapter 13, let's notice verses 10 through 16. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. That is people with a mind that is closed. They're not wanting to understand. Now, verse 14, And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. So this is Isaiah 6, 9 and 10, isn't it? For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I shall heal them. And I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Are we of that number? Are we seeing with our eyes the truth, the Word of God? Are we hearing with our ears the truth, the Word of God? Or have we closed our eyes, closed our ears to the truth, because we don't want to accept that there's one true church? We want to believe that everybody is going to heaven, and they can believe whatever they want. Well, where do you find that in the Word of God? There's one faith. Yes, one system of faith. There's one body, one religious body. That's the church that Jesus purchased with His precious blood, the church He said He would build, and He did. And it's His church, being His spiritual body. Thus it should be called by His name, since He possesses it, the Church of Christ. Now, again, we're looking at the sin of religious prejudice. People are prejudiced against the true church because they don't want to accept that. You see, in Matthew 15, 8 and 9, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. If we're not staying with the doctrine of Christ, we're following the doctrines of men, their commandments. And that's vain worship, according to the Lord. And you can see now in John, let's go over to John chapter 6, verse 41 through 45. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God, he has seen the Father. In other words, you see, the Jews murmured here at Jesus. They weren't seeing him as the Messiah. They weren't seeing him as God in the flesh. But we want to be of those who are hearing the truth, seeing it, and accepting it, and following the truth, and obeying the doctrine of Christ. Thus, we would be of those that are heard, are hearing and learning, and cometh unto the Lord. That's the ones we want to be of. So what about us today? Are we guilty of the sin of religious prejudice towards the truth, holding on to denominational beliefs because we were brought up in this religion? We love, of course, those that taught us, maybe family, but is it from the Word of God? Is it the doctrine of Christ that's being followed in this religious group? Did it begin in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, or did it begin many hundreds of years later in protest to the Catholic Church, which came out of the true church? Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines of devils. The Holy Spirit even told of this happening before it happened. And they would abstain from eating meats that God had sanctified. And of course, forbidding marriage was one of the signs of this departure. That's in the Scriptures as you study 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let's notice that God's Word is the truth. And even though it condemns those that we love who are following the false teachings of man, we stay with the truth and we submit to it ourselves. We don't want to be of the sin of religious prejudice. Many people actually hate the true church because of their prejudice. Their ability to think rationally has been hindered. So is our heart with Jesus by understanding and doing His will. If you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:15. We must remove the things that hinder us. 1 Peter 2:1-2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Let's consider for a moment. Do we love the Lord? Well, if we're not keeping His commandments, we cannot answer yes honestly. And we may think we're religious, but are we religiously minded according to the Scriptures? Are we following the teachings of Christ? Even though well-meaning people, sincere people, taught us otherwise, we've got to accept the truth. And this, again, as we've covered, these three sins are going on today, the sin of ignorance. A lot of people just don't know the truth. And, of course, the sin of hating that which is good and the sin of religious prejudice. These sins are going on. Let's not be involved in them. We stand ready to assist you in obeying the gospel, and we thank you so much for listening today.